Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1, we'll read verses 12 through 15 together. We'll read this passage responsively. James, chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. James, chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And let's pray. Father, thank you for our church. Lord, thank you that in the house of God, this house of God, there's joy, there's gladness, there's happiness. And yet, we stand before you a needy people. Lord, this morning the altars were jam-packed and people being saved and people being baptized and lives being changed, but we're still sinners. We still need you. Holy Spirit of God, do that which only you can do tonight. Please fill our preacher with your power. No way could one man meet the needs of the hundreds and hundreds of people in this room. But the Holy Spirit could work through him, through your word. Please fill him with your power. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This evening's sermon is a sermon that will be, I think, what we would call, I think we're going to educate ourselves a little bit about the subject of sin. Somehow we would get this idea that sin is pleasant or sin is fun, and I want you to understand that as God describes sin, God doesn't describe it as something that's fun. He doesn't describe it as something that is delightful. He doesn't describe it as a joy. He doesn't describe it in that way at all. The Bible says in James chapter 1:15, it says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Over and over in the Bible, God describes sin in a variety of ways. I want to read another verse to you. The Bible says in 1 Kings 8:38, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart and spread forth his hands toward this house. Here God talks about the plague of the heart. When God talks about the plague of the heart of man, he's not describing something that's delightful or fun or joyous. He's saying there is a plague of the heart. Now, what is that plague? That is the plague of sin. I call the sermon tonight God's Descriptions of Sin. What I'm going to do is I'm going to show you where God in the Scripture mentions sin, and He uses different descriptions of sin, and I'm going to make a very brief application as to how that description then could be applied to our everyday lives, or how we can apply it to this thing that's called sin. You see, I believe God is a practical God. I believe that God wants to be understood. And I believe that God can be understood. Though God is very deep, He desires that man grasp His instruction. This book that I hold in my hand, it's a powerful book. It's a wonderful book. It is a thorough book. But God made it so man could understand it. It is God's Word, but God wrote it in such a way that man could understand it. And for that, we ought to be grateful. God, I believe, I think God believes that the greatest vehicle for the transporting of profundity is that vehicle of simplicity. Our God is a very profound God, but yet God uses some of the simplest illustrations to help us to understand Him. And that shows the greatness of God. God's not trying to just show off His power. He's trying to show you that He loves you, and He tries to tell you things in words and with definitions and with illustrations so that you and I, as lowly human beings, can understand the great God of the universe. God truly wants us to be warned about the danger of sin. A moment ago, I read a verse to you where God compared sin to the plague of the heart. And just look right here at me. God compares sin and he compares it to a plague of the heart. Well, there's another verse in the Bible. One of the plagues that they dealt with in Bible time was the plague of this disease called leprosy. Now, let me show you something, and very quickly, this is what I'll do all night long, and don't let the words all night long bother you. We'll get out, but through the whole sermon, let me show you how God uses a word to describe sin, and how that word then can be applied to the sin of our lives. He uses this word plague, and one of the greatest plagues that they dealt with in Bible time was a plague of leprosy. You could read about the plague of leprosy in Leviticus 13:2. But leprosy, when somebody gets leprosy, it starts out very, very small. The plague of leprosy would start, maybe it might be just a very little bump, almost the size of maybe a pimple, the head of a pin. You would get a bump on your ear. And that's how leprosy starts out. Let me tell you something, folks. Big sin starts out little. Now that's why God could compare the plague of the disease leprosy to sin. Then what happens? Leprosy begins to rot away at the person that has leprosy. Oh, easy application. What happens when we sin? Sin starts little. Then before long it expands. And then what happens? That sin begins to rot away at those things that are important to us. When someone gets leprosy, their flesh begins to rot and it'll begin to smell bad. Well, let me tell you something. When your life starts to rot, you're going to find that life is not as sweet smelling as what it used to be. The Bible and life tells us that this thing called leprosy is very contagious. May I tell you tonight that sin is very contagious. Leprosy, in Bible days, they had colonies where people with leprosy would go to live. They were called leper colonies. And they would go to live there. They were separated from the main part of the human race. Why? Because it was so contagious. Let me tell you something. Your sin will separate you. Your sin will separate you. Hey, I've watched sin separate husbands from wives. I've watched sin separate children from families. I've watched sin separate people from their God and people from their church. And it's not a matter that God left you. It's a matter that you turn your back on God. God teaches us that, folks, sin's bad. Children, if you don't get anything out of the night, just hear this. Sin is bad. Sin is like a plague. Not only that. God then compares sin to sores, like on the human body, on the flesh, a sore. Listen, Isaiah 1:6 says, "From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither treated with ointment." Now, God, through the Bible, will compare sin to a sore. It's putrefied. In other words, it becomes smelly. Did you know you get a sore on your body? It's ugly. Let me tell you, sin will make your life ugly. A sore. Hey, a sore can cripple you. You get a sore on the bottom of your foot, you can't walk. It will slow you down. May I say to you that sin is like a sore? You get a sin going in your life, it's ugly, and it will begin to slow you down for the Lord. A sore is very painful. Now, here's what the devil does to us. The devil comes along, he offers us a sin, and in a moment we cash in on it, and the Bible says there is pleasure in sin. But it's only for a short season. You see, we commit a sin, and then suddenly the devil pulls back the curtain and shows us all the pain and the hurt that sin has caused. And that's the way it is. A sore is painful. Sin is painful. So, God compares sin to the plague of leprosy. God compares sin to a sore on the body. God compares sin to sickness. Matthew 9:12 says, "But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them that they be whole, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that be sick." And he's talking about spiritual sickness here. Let me tell you something. Sin is like sickness. What happens? When you get sick, it can affect your attitude some. But you know what? When you are living in sin, or when you sin, it's going to affect your attitude. Sickness can make us, it makes us miss things. You get sick, you miss church. You get sick, you miss school. You get sick, you miss work. This thing called sin, when you get to living in sin, you'll miss things. You live in sin, you'll miss the blessings of God. You live in sin, you'll miss church. You live in sin, you'll miss soul winning. You live in sin, you're going to miss things. When God explains to us sin in the Bible, He explained it in such a simple way that even a child could understand it. Sickness affects our attitude. Sickness makes us miss things. Sickness will wear you out. If you get sick, that sickness will drain you of your energy. May I say to you, you have any idea what sin will do to you? Sin will wear you down. Sin will wear you out. Sin will drain you of your energy. That's the way sin is. Let me say again, sin's bad. Sin's bad. Sin is like the plague of leprosy. Sin is like an infected sore. Sin is like a sickness. And God uses description after description. For instance, God compares sin to a sting or a bite. Listen, Romans 3:13 says, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Here God is comparing the sin of the lips to like the poison of a snake. Sin's bite is like the bite of a poisonous snake. And that's what God's saying. 1 Corinthians 15:56 says, the sting of death is sin. Death to the lost is like a poisonous snake bite to the body. If you're not saved here tonight, let me recommend to you that you get saved, because sin has bit you, and if you don't get saved and get the serum or the antidote, which is Jesus Christ, you'll die and go to hell. The Bible compares sin to a sting or to a bite. Hey, you know, you take a snake bite. You get bit by a snake, it stings. And sin will sting you. It will injure you. A snake bite can kill the body of a lost person, and it could send them to hell. A snake's poison spreads very quickly through the body. So God's comparing sin to a snake bite. And a snake, if it bites you, its poison could spread through your body very quickly. When you get bit by sin, may I say, that sin can begin to spread. And you say, well, I was just going to dabble a little bit in this sin. Hey, you just dabble a little bit, you get a little bit of poison in your body, that poison will begin to spread, and that which you thought you were going to poison is not the only thing you poisoned. A snake's poison must be taken out of the body to overcome it. In other words, you know, you get poison in your body. What's the goal? To get it out of the body. May I say, if you've got sin in your life, the goal is to get the sin out of your life. It's like taking the poison out of the body. You know, a snake's poison can cause a victim to have hallucinations. You get bit by a poisonous snake, they say you begin to see things. You get bit by sin, you'll stop seeing things right. You start living in sin, you won't see the Bible right. You won't see God right. You won't say church right. And I'll tell you what really will become marred in your vision. It's your preacher. When you ought to be running to the doctor that can help you, run from the doctor. Hey, instead of seeing the church right and it's a place for healing, we run. Oh my, oh my, oh my. When sin has taken a bite at us, get to Jesus, get to the Bible, get to church, and let God help you. But again, we see God making sin easy for us to understand. It's like the plague of leprosy. It's like infected sores. It's like sickness. It's like a sting. Or it's like a bite. Not only that, God compares sin to us carrying something heavy. I'll use the word burden, and often we use the word burden when we're talking about a heartache. In this application, we're not using the word burden like a heartache. We're comparing it to something heavy. The Bible says in Psalm 38:4, for mine iniquities are gone over my head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. What's God saying? Here's sin. And this sin has become heavy. And God is saying, I will again compare sin to something you can understand. God's saying sin is like carrying a heavy weight around with you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Like a burden of weights could get us down, your sin will weigh you down. You get into sin, let me tell you, if you're living in sin, if you commit sin, it's going to weigh down your attitude. It's going to weigh down your spirit. It's going to weigh down your joy. Like a burden of great weight could crush you. If you had a whole bunch of weights placed on your shoulders, it could crush you. I'll tell you, sin will crush your spirit. Sin will crush your attitude. Like a burden would make it hard to walk, sin will make it hard for you to walk with God. Right. If you were carrying 200 pounds of steel on your shoulder, it would weigh you down. It'd make it hard to get where you're going. It would make it hard for you to go forward. And folks, that's exactly what sin does to us. It becomes a burden. It becomes a weight. Like the burden's weight drains our strength, so does sin steal our spiritual strength. A heavy weight could crush us, and our sin can crush our spiritual life. So, again, God is saying sin can be compared to your carrying a very, very heavy weight in life. God said sin is like a snake bite. Sin is like a sickness. Sin is like an infected sore. Sin is like leprosy. Not only that, God compares sin to a rotting dead body. A rotting dead body. Matthew chapter 23, verse 27, it says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. God was saying, he's comparing someone's misbehavior to a sepulcher that has a dead body in it that is rotting away. It's full of uncleanness. Now, let's take a look at that. How will that help us with sin? You know, a rotting dead body begins to smell. Sin will make your life stink. Sin will make your attitude stink. Sin will make your relationship stink. It's just like a rotting body. God said, I want you to understand what sin is. So listen, young people, you look at the bright lights of the world and you say, wow, I want to go out there and jump on the devil's bandwagon and have some fun. You want to go have fun? Your fun is going to be, it's going to end up like rotting flesh. Your fun is going to end up like you carrying a 200 pound weight around with you. Your fun is like being bit by a snake or being sick or having an infected sore on your body. It's like the plague of leprosy. And God is saying, wake up. People, wake up. Sin's bad. And every description that God makes of sin, he makes it simple so we can follow it. God compared sin to a rotting corpse. A rotting dead body becomes stiff.
Yes, sir.
You know what sin will do? It'll make your heart hard.
Right.
It'll give you a stiff neck.
Yes, it will.
Yes, it will. See, sin, a dead body begins to stink, and sin will make your life stink. A rotting dead body but becomes stiff, and sin will make your heart hard. A rotting dead body will eventually attract maggots. So you know, you live in sin enough, you'll attract the maggots of the world.
Yes, sir. Boy, that's good for you.
See, so you'll attract the wrong crowd. A rotting dead body looks terrible. Sin will even change the way you look. Sin will change the way that look on your face that ought to be a smile and the joy of the Lord. And when the preacher's preaching, you're looking in support, amen. You get to living in sin. You start frowning when the preacher's preaching on your sin. Sin will change the way you look. A rotting dead body accomplishes nothing. You know what? Sin will reduce your accomplishments. Get it? A rotting dead body begins to smell. Sin will do that to you. A rotting dead body becomes stiff. Sin will make you hard. A rotting dead body will eventually draw maggots. Sin will draw the wrong crowd to you. A rotting dead body looks terrible. Sin will change your looks. A rotting dead body accomplishes nothing. Sin will reduce your accomplishments in life. A rotting dead body hurts its surroundings. There could be corruption. I remember this. I was in high school, and back then I wanted a Corvette. And I had a buddy tell me, he said this. He said, I seen a Corvette. It was advertised at $3,000. Now, back then, the thought of buying a Corvette at $3,000, I said, well, I'm going to do it. I'm going to buy that Corvette. So I went to the address that they gave me, and this was one beautiful car. I looked at that thing. It was as slick as it could be. I walked over toward it, and I said, something smells here. I couldn't figure it out. I talked to the owner for a little while. I said, what's wrong with this thing? You only want $3,000 for it. He said, there's not a thing wrong with the car. The engine's in top shape. Tires, transmission. Said, but there was a dead body in it for quite some time. You see, that dead body had deteriorated its surroundings. That corruption had spread, and let me say to you, that's what sin will do. Sin in your life will deteriorate your surroundings. That's why we need to be careful. Look, you're part of a family unit. Don't you deteriorate your family unit. Get that sin out of your life. You're a part of a Sunday school class. Don't you deteriorate that Sunday school class. Get that sin out of your life. You see, God said sin can be compared to a rotting dead body. And so people say, hail, hail, the gang's all here. Let's party. Let's go out and have a good time. Let's go out and enjoy ourselves. And let me tell you what you're about to do. You're about to go out and get you some leprosy.
Yes, sir.
You're about to go out and get some infected sores. You're about to go out and get yourself a sickness called sin. You're about to go out and get bit by a snake or stung by a poisonous insect. You're about to put weights, like heavy, heavy weights upon your shoulders. You're about to go out and jump into a pool of rotting flesh where the maggots meet. You see, sin's not attractive. God never wanted sin to be attractive. God also compares sin to a debt. D-E-B-T, a debt. Matthew 18, verse 24 and 25, it says, when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment was to be made. This is a story about a debt, and this debt got this man into deep trouble. Now, in Matthew chapter 18, just a couple verses before, Jesus Christ and Peter are talking, and Peter talks to Jesus about forgiveness. And he talks to him. He says, I want to talk to you about forgiveness. And then two verses later, Jesus begins to teach Peter about sin and how sin is like a debt. And we need our sins forgiven. But the comparison here is a debt and how a debt is compared to sin. Here, let me tell you something about, let me make the little comparison for us here. A debt will control you. You get a debt, there's control there. Well, let me, you can't spend freely when you're in debt, and you shouldn't be. If you have debts, look, when you have debts that are outstanding, you ought not be going to McDonald's and wasting money. Not if you're a person of integrity. People of integrity don't go waste money when if you have a house payment and you make it on time, you've kept your commitment, you've kept your contractual commitment. But when you get to running behind and you're out wasting money when you should be making your payment on time, now that's not right. And God here is comparing debt to sin. And when you have debt, you cannot just freely spend. Debt controls you to a degree. I promise you. Sin will control you. Sin will control you. Sin controls and sin restrains us. How else could this thing called sin be compared to debt? A debt will dominate your thinking. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm always concerned about my debts. And I'll use the term worry. I don't mean it like you might interpret it, but I show reverence to my debts. I'm concerned about my debts, and it affects my thinking. Sin will also affect your thinking. Sin will control you like a debt would. Sin could dominate your thinking like a debt would. A debt keeps you from buying other good things. There's some things that we'd all like to have, but we have some debts. You know, you can't just have everything that you want. Why? Well, if you've got some debts, you need to take care of that before you step up to some other things. But a debt will keep you from getting other good things, and sin will hinder you from doing some other good things you ought to do. A debt usually has some interest rate charged on it. Well, sin will cost you more than you want to pay. You say, I'm going to go enjoy this for this next 30 minutes. You're going to pay for it far after that 30 minutes. You go out and get yourself drunk beyond belief, and you let yourself stumble into immorality. You might have one night and enjoy it, but when you come home with some disease, you'll suffer with it. You'll pay the interest on your sin. And we never think about the interest rate. We, you know, people don't think that, well, I want this sin. Get ready. There's some fine print printed by the devil attached to the bottom of the sinful contract. You go out and enjoy for a moment. You'll pay long time to come. And it is an inflated interest rate. It's just about like a credit card. See, sin is like a debt. A debt will affect your relationships. If you owe somebody money or they owe you, it begins to affect relationships. Sin will affect the relationships in your life. A debt will cause you to lose sleep. Sin will do the same thing to you. A debt can destroy your reputation. Sin can do the same thing to you. I love the way God wrote the Bible. God makes the Bible so we can understand it. He said sin is like a debt. But not only that, God also compares sin to a wound, like a bruise. Psalm 38:5 says, my wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. Here God said somebody was behaving foolishly and it created wounds. Proverbs 18:14 says, the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Sin wounds the sinner. Sin will ache like a wound. You ever get a bad bruise? Especially if you ever bruise a bone? You talk about ache. Bruise the bottom of your feet. When you walk, they ache. Sin will make you ache like a wound. Sin will infect you like a wound can become infected. Sin can wound your attitude. Sin can wound your affections. Sin can wound your memory. Oh, let me warn you. Not only will the devil get us by coaxing us into sin, then he has this uncanny way of bringing our sins up and reminding us of them. He wounds our memory. There are people in this house tonight. That sin that you committed is so long ago. God's forgiven you. You've gotten right from God. But the devil is still stealing victory from people in this house tonight because sin wounded your memory. Sin can wound your conscience. You know, a wounded animal can strike out at others. I watch people that you get into sin and all of a sudden everybody's your enemy and you're attacking people and you've got this attitude of aggression that's mean and hateful. Let me tell you, God compares sin to a wound. Everybody look right this way. Let me go on. God compares sin, to regurgitation. The Bible uses the word vomit. 2 Peter 2:22 says, but it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit. That is a quote from Proverbs 26:11. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. You say, I want to go out and have fun. God said it's like getting involved with regurgitation. That's how God sees it. Vomit stinks, so does sin. Vomit needs cleaned up. Your sin needs cleaned up. Vomit ruins the moment. Let me tell you. I was on an airplane yesterday, and right in front of me, this little lady used a little blue bag. I mean, our plane was being tossed and thrown everywhere. I told the story this morning in emergency landing. It was terrible. I was scared for my life. I could have threw up. This lady, she did. I'm telling you, and those of us that had even a moment of peace on that flight, once she did what she did, it ruined the moment for us all. Yeah. Yeah. But It ruins a moment. And that's what sin will do for you. Vomit is a sign of sickness. Sin makes you spiritually sick. Vomit is an outward revelation of something bad going on the inside. And when you start using your hands and your feet and your body on the outside wrong, it just tells us there's something going on inside your heart. Something's gone. Something's bad there. Usually, one vomit in a contained space could probably equal two. Any of your school teachers? I mean, there could be a chain reaction.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Sin's the same way. Sin, you get into sin and the person beside you could be affected. You say, well, we're having some fun. No, it's a chain reaction of vomit according to God. That's how God sees sin. Not only that, God compares sin to uncleanness. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Sin is dirty. Sin is filthy. Sin is yucky and nasty and smelly. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing. And our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we do all fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. When the Bible talks here about our righteousness being like filthy rags, what that is back in Bible days when somebody would get leprosy, a leper would get sores on their body, pus would come forth, they would wipe it. There were, at different places outside the community, they would nail a rag, a big rag, to like a post. A leper would come by and they would wipe their leprosy on that rag. And God said God said our righteousnesses are as one of those unclean rags. Now look, if the best we do is like an unclean rag compared to Jesus, can you imagine how bad the worst we do is? God compares sin to uncleanness. Uncleanness causes disease. You go to a third world country, there's a reason why there's a lot of sickness there. It's because they're unclean there. They're unclean physically. They're unclean sexually. And they are unclean spiritually. What happens? Uncleanness causes disease. And God said sin is like a lack of cleanliness. Uncleanness creates a stench or a smell. Uncleanness repulses others. Sin will do the same. Uncleanness causes deterioration. Sin will do the same. Uncleanness lowers something's value. Let me say to all of you, God loves you. God loves you, and God comes along and He warns you about sin because God does not want you to depreciate your life. He wants you to get everything out of your life that you can. God wants you to be happy. But when you sin, you begin to depreciate the joy in your life and depreciate the peace in your life and depreciate the good part of your life. So God compares sin to uncleanness. As I looked through the Bible, I thought, boy, look at all those very simple applications. Even a child could understand it. Sin is like a plague. Sin is like an infected sore. Sin is like a sickness. Sin is like a snake bite. Sin is like carrying an extra heavy burden on our shoulders. Sin is like a rotting body. Sin is like a debt. Sin is like a wound. It's like vomit. It's like uncleanness. God says that sin is like filthy, dirty drain water. Like the water that would be in the drain trap. Like the water setting stagnant in some little pool. Job 15:16, it says, how much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water. And it's talking about dirty water. Iniquity or dirty water. Iniquity is compared to that filthy, dirty water. Nobody wants to grab up water that's out in the parking lot and get a cup, scrape it off the top and drink it. That's dirty. But God said, that's what sin's like. Sin is like dirty water. Drain water, you can't use it. I'll tell you what'll happen. If you sin, you make it hard for God to use you. Now let me give you a promise of God. God says, now if you sin and you get it right, I can use you again. But God said, if you sin, you're not going to be used as much. Why? Well, God said it's like dirty water. Dirty water is not usable. Drain water is very stagnant. If you're living in sin, your Christianity's stagnant. It's stagnant. You're not as productive as what you could be for God. You say, well, I'm productive. You're not as productive as what you should be then. Because there's this stagnation that has taken place because of that sin or that dirty water in your life. Drain water can be a little bit deceptive. You know, you can look at drain water and you could say, well, that looks like it's okay. Well, you might be careful. You may end up with a tummy ache. You may end up making yourself sick. So not everything that looks like it's clean on the outside is necessarily clean on the inside. Drain water sets there and it basically accomplishes nothing. If you're not careful because of your sin, you're not going to accomplish anything. Dirty water can contaminate clean water. You be careful now. Hey, if you want to live in sin, don't contaminate somebody else. Don't hurt somebody else. At least have enough dignity and love for your family or your friends that you don't try to convince them to do what's wrong. The Bible says in James 1:15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. God is a practical God. God said, sin is bad. He said, now let me explain sin to you in a very practical, down-to-earth, everyday way so anybody could understand it. God said, sin is like a plague of leprosy. He said sin is like an infected sore on your skin. He said sin is like a sickness that ruins your health. He said sin is like a snake bite. He said sin is like you adding hundreds of pounds of weight that you must carry around in life. Sin is like being in a place where there's a rotting, dead, putrefied body. He said sin is like a debt. He said sin is like a wound or a bruise on the body. God said sin is like regurgitation or vomit. God said sin is uncleanness. He said sin is like dirty drain water. God said, I love you. I want you to understand it. The devil comes along. You know what he does? He tries to paint a pretty picture of all of those. He's pretty good at it, isn't he? How in the world can the devil make vomit look good? And just so you all know, the devil fools us all at one time or another. The devil can take all of that and still convince you and I as human beings to make mistakes. Well, when the devil fools you, I'll remind you, you have a loving God and a forgiving God. And God said, I'm going to do everything I can to make this so you understand it. But if the devil still tricks you, God said, you come to me, you ask me to forgive you, I'll help you, we'll get things fixed up, and I'll use you again. But the devil's slick. He's slick. Let's pray for one another. Let's make sure, don't ever, ever, ever get to looking at sin as something good, fun, and delightful. The devil's a liar. And God loves you and He tells you the truth about it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Tonight I ask you this question, are you saved? If you died tonight, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? There must have been nearly 20 people today in church this morning that came forward and said, I need to be born again, and they trusted Jesus Christ. If you're like that, if you've never been saved, tonight we welcome you to the Savior. If you've never trusted Christ, in a moment we'll have an altar call. You leave your seat, come down toward the front. There'll be men standing at the end of each aisle, and if you need to be saved, walk up to them and say, I want to be born again. If you've been saved and never baptized, you present yourself for baptism tonight. Maybe you've gotten into some sin. Maybe you need to come down here and just get on your knees and get something right with God and say, God, oh, I've been tricked. Oh, and the devil, he's smart. Maybe some of you, you've looked at the sin and the devil's lie and you've been attracted to it. Tonight, I've explained to you what is sin really like. It is the way God describes it. Who here tonight would say, preacher, God's spoken to my heart. He's revealed to me something about even my sin. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. God's revealed some things to me. If you need the altar, don't you be afraid to use it. Maybe you need to come down here and realize how bad your sin is and what sin will do to you. If you're not saved, you come. Maybe somebody here, you just need to come and pray. Maybe you need a moment at the altar where you need a little extra protection, a little help from God because of the devices of the devil. I'm going to ask the instrumentalist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Choir, sing a song of invitation if you will. If you need the altar, you come. If you're not saved, come, let us take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you've been saved and never baptized, why don't you come? Follow the Lord in believer's baptism. If you've been saved and you've been baptized but you never joined the church, you're welcome to come. If you're already saved and baptized and you need to join the church, you're welcome to it. Sin's a liar. Sin's a thief. Sin is deceptive. Sin looks good on the surface, but underneath, it's nasty. It's bad. It's bad. Sin has an element of fun, but it only lasts for a moment. Sin will break your heart. Sin will cheat you. Sin will lie to you. Sin will steal from you. Sin will hurt you. Sin will take you down. Sin doesn't make you better, it makes you worse. If you need to be saved, come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Sin has got the best of you. You might want to get that straightened out. Wake up. Open your eyes. Smell the stink. Glance at the maggots. Notice the pain. That pain is not coincidental. That's what the devil wanted to do. He wanted to hurt you. Choir, one more time through the song, please. God bless you, folks. You can go ahead and have a seat.